Jeff Chittister, and New Hampshire Perspective.
And welcome back to New Hampshire Perspective. Always thanks for taking time out of your day to join us. Don't forget, check out us online at WGIRAM.com, 96.7TheWave.com, and of course, JeffChittister.com. Big question for you. I'm sure it's a question that many of you keep asking. You're surprised you have to keep asking yourself. Who is Barack Obama? Who is this man that we call President of the United States? And I think that that's a fair question because that answer has never been given to us. So we're pleased to be joined by this next individual. He's best-selling author Dinesh D'Souza. He has been a major influence in American public policy for over 20 years. Of course, he's also the president of King's College in Manhattan, New York. And he's got deep New Hampshire roots. He's a Phi Beta Kappa graduate from Dartmouth College in 1983, and he's written three great books that I highly encourage that you read. What's So Great About America? What's So Great About Christianity? And the two books we're going to talk about and a film that's just been released, The Roots of Obama's Rage, and his newest book is called Obama's America, Unmaking the American Dream. Now, those two books feed into a documentary that's been released called Obama's Dream, 2016. Dinesh, welcome back to New Hampshire.
Hey, good to be on the show.
And so you are Darth McKidd, so we know you're really smart. And one of the things too, Dinesh, is that I've read a lot of your books, and I'm really a huge fan because the thing that I've enjoyed so much about your writings and now this film, you're a very patient person when you explore these questions that are out there, not only about our president, but about policy in general. So I wanted to talk really a lot about the book first, and then talk a little bit about the film later, because what's important, and I think our listeners should know this, is that the book Obama's America, Unmaking the American Dream, and the previous book when we talk about The Roots of Obama's Rage, they really are vital to understanding who President Obama is. The movie does a good job with that, but the movie, you walk out of the theater and you don't have that all information available to you. So, Dinesh, let's first talk about, it's clear we really don't know who this president is. And when we look at that, not only do we not know who he is personally, but we don't know an awful lot about what he believes. How did that happen?
Well, I think that there were a set of peculiar circumstances that propelled Obama into the White House. Of course, there was an economic nosedive that preceded the election. Part of it, too, was just a simple kind of stunning surprise of having not just an African-American, but an African-American leader who was so different than a Jesse Jackson or an Al Sharpton. I think people were simply blown away by the idea. It's almost as if this Obama's election would bring us closer to racial redemption, to leaving behind America's racial past. So I think while people were obsessed with all that stuff going on, they sort of ignored. There were some little, turbulences on the water, Jeremiah Wright, Bill Ayers, but the Obama campaign was able to quickly snuff those out, and people didn't get a sense of who Obama really is.
Well, and that's unfortunate, too. Once again, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza. The book is called Obama's America, Unmaking of the American Dream. What a great book it was, Dinesh, because like I said, you're a very patient person. And the thing that I enjoyed about this book is when you looked at each one of the phases of President Obama's life, and let's talk a little bit about that. The first thing is you describe him as kind of being this invisible man. This mystery about him isn't really well known. And what were some of the things that you found out through the two books that you did leading into the film?
Well, the thing is, I hear people say all these different things about Obama,
sure,
both on the left and the right, and I realize this can't possibly be right. One group on the left goes, well, he's the champion of the African-American cause. He's the new Martin Luther King. Another group goes, well, he's not really black. He doesn't seem to be interested in black issues. He doesn't talk about the inner city or poverty or hate crimes or affirmative action. Then on the right, one group would say he's a secret Muslim, or he's wasn't born in the United States, or he's a Manchurian candidate, or he's a socialist. And so all of this was suggesting to me that there's sort of a vacuum of understanding of this man. And I wanted to explore this not in an unsympathetic way by just, crudely bashing Obama, but trying to figure out how he became the man that he is. And so the film takes you on a voyage to figure that out. But I think the book, you're right, lays it out in systematic detail, what his father was like, what his mother was like, who are the who is the group I call Obama's founding fathers, the
right.
people who had the shaping influence on him, and then ultimately, where is he going to take America over the next 4 years?
Well, and that's the important thing, too. And once again, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza. We're going to make sure we post that information up online. And I want to kind of move into that. That part of the book was just, I loved it. By talking about his what we look at as his founding fathers, I thought were really important. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about this, how he became who he was because of this absentee father. And his father truly was not heavily involved in his life, but he still was a major influence in how Barack Obama thinks. Talk about what his father did, or the absence of his father, and how that helped shape President Obama.
Well, the father was a very odd fellow.
Yes.
He grew up in Kenya. He had four wives and eight known children. He became an alcoholic and, sadly, a chronic drunk driver who got into multiple drunk driving accidents, in one of which he killed a man. Another, finally, he hurt himself so badly his legs had to be amputated. Eventually, he drove drunk into a tree in Nairobi and killed himself. So this seems like a really unusual fellow for the President of the United States to make his, you know, role model. But what happened was that Obama's mother, who was a sort of disciple, a devotee of the dad, cultivated in Obama's mind, oh, your father, well, he's like Gandhi. You know, he's like Kenyatta, the sort of leader of Kenyan independence. He's a sort of a great man. Today we might say he's like Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And so Obama grew up revering this man and not knowing that his real father was not like that. So later he discovers that his father's a different kind of a guy. He goes into a tremendous sort of moral and psychological crisis. He goes to Africa to find his father and, in a way, find himself. And so this is the gripping Obama story that we follow. I follow it in the book, and I draw out how Obama ultimately decided, look, I'm not going to be like my father. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better dad. But I'm going to take his dream. I'm going to take his ideals, his values, his political philosophy. That remains noble. And where he failed in implementing it, I'm going to succeed. So sort of a incredible, almost Shakespearean sense in which this young boy abandoned by both parents really can split his father into two, the good father, the bad father, and take for himself the good father.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, too, because looking at the film and looking at the books, I really did get that, like, haunting journey, that almost Shakespearean or Greek tragedy. Here we have this poor boy abandoned twice at different times by each of his parents for different reasons, and then he has to kind of go out in the world and find out who he is. And the unfortunate thing about it is that we don't know who he is. I mean, just all those things that you talked to about his father would surprise a lot of people. But one of the bigger parts of his father's relationship into Barack's life is this idea of anti-colonialism. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's an unfamiliar idea in America.
Yeah.
I mean, for most Americans, the only anti-colonialism is like in 1776, right? America
yeah.
got its freedom from the British. But there's a different kind of anti-colonialism that developed in the Third World in the 20th century. And this was the independence movements in Asia and Africa and South America and the Middle East to push the Western rulers out, mainly the British and the French. And this anti-colonialism became anti-Western, to some degree anti-white. Its basic idea was, look, was the belief that the West became rich by invading and occupying and looting all the other countries. So the central idea of anti-colonialism is theft, that wealth is not obtained by earning or hard work or not by the scientific revolution or the industrial revolution. Wealth is obtained by piracy.
Oh.
So the anti-colonial solution is really simple. Number one, shrink the power of the West, but now specifically America, in the world. And number two, globally redistribute income, have big transfers of wealth away from the West and America to the developing countries. And I think that is the core of the anti-colonial belief of Obama Sr. So my hypothesis is, if Obama took the dream from his father, to what degree is this anti-colonial philosophy his philosophy?
Right.
And what I do in the book is Obama's America, I match up the ideology of the father with the actions of the son. And kind of to my amazement, I find that it's like a jigsaw puzzle coming together. In case after case, things that Obama's doing that seem peculiar or anomalous or inexplicable then become like, wow, I now get it. I now see why he's doing that.
Well, that's what's so true about the book, too. Once again, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza. The book's called Obama's America, Unmaking American Dream. I know many of you have seen or want to see the movie called Obama's Dream 2016. Folks, the movie is important. It's a very good movie, but the books are as important because what they do is they help fuel the discussion that is offered in the movie, but also they're walkaways. They're things that you can reference back as we start looking at who this person is that is asking for a second term. It's funny the definition that you gave of anti-colonialism, because it really talks about the 1% and the 99%, because we've had this debate, Dinesh, this past year or more. We think that we have an understanding of what President Obama's belief of the 1% and 99% is, but it's much more international, isn't it?
Yeah, one of Obama's early actions when he was senator was to propose a massive transfer of wealth away from the United States and toward the developing countries. Now, he was a senator. His proposal was so preposterous, everyone ignored it. And I think Obama learned something from it. He learned that, look, even Democrats aren't going to vote for hundreds of billions of dollars of foreign aid where you just give away money to other countries. So Obama thought, I got to do that a different way. And he's figured out very clever ways to do it. One is oil drilling. Obama is a global energy redistributor. He's not an environmentalist. I honestly don't believe he knows or cares if the earth is getting hotter or colder. But what he wants to do is block and restrict and regulate oil drilling in America, deferring the Keystone Pipeline, shutting down large areas to drilling, and so on. But meanwhile, abroad, he promotes oil drilling, and he subsidizes it in Mexico and Brazil and Colombia. So he's trying to give the people over there more oil and have us use less.
Well, and you have a really good part in the book that talks about the Brazilian connection and that deal, which struck many of us as very odd because we were giving our money to a country when we could easily have done that drilling ourselves. And that part of the book was very thorough. I want to talk a little bit. Once again, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza. You got to pick up this book, folks. It's called Obama's America, Unmaking the American Dream. Now, I want to be very clear on this, folks. Not conservative, not liberal, not Republican, not Democrat. The reality is that America does not know who this person is, and it's a fair analytical book that helps everybody try to understand who this person is. Don't think of it as a book that is just critical on this president. It is really an expose of who this person is, something the media failed to do. Let's talk about what you call Obama's founding fathers. And I found this fascinating because as much as I think I know about President Obama, there were names here that I haven't heard before. And these people were critical outside of his father and mother of making this man who he is.
Yeah, one of the objections to my earlier book, The Roots of Obama's Rage, was, how could Obama have gotten all these ideas from his father? Because he hardly knew his father.
Right.
And second, hey, Dinesh, aren't you portraying Obama as some sort of a very foreign guy? Aren't you sort of malevolently suggesting that he's sort of un-American in some way or a foreigner in some way? And in what I do in this book is I answer that by saying, first of all, look, Obama was inspired by his father. I didn't invent that. Obama says that. That's the title of his autobiography.
Right.
I said, but second, Obama learned chapter and verse of this anti-colonial ideology not from his father, but from a series of mentors that he met here in America, starting in Hawaii, but then continuing in Chicago, in New York, in at Harvard. And these are not guys he bumped into in the street. These are people that he, for the most part, 4 out of 5, he carefully sought them out. He looked for them. He tried to find guys who were sort of had the same radical or revolutionary philosophy as his father. And then he glommed onto them. He got to know them, and he spent, years, in some cases, decades.
Yeah.
So, and what a group. I mean, you've got a former communist in Hawaii, Frank Marshall Davis. You got a member of the Palestine National Council at Columbia, Edward Said, buddy of Yasser Arafat. You've got a Brazilian socialist at Harvard Law School. This is a guy, Roberto Unger, who recently wrote an article saying that he hates the idea that America is the world's number one. He calls this American hegemony. He says, look, we need to have a team of countries to bring down America. He says, we need Russia and China and Brazil and India to all gang up, that's his phrase, gang up on the United States and yank it off the pedestal. So these are the kind of guys. And then later, of course, we know about Jeremiah Wright, Goddamn America. We know about Bill Ayers. I mean, this is never before have we had a U.S. president who has been tutored to a meaningful degree by this kind of an assortment of radical revolutionary, and in one case, an outright domestic terrorist.
Well, and once again, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza. We're going to lose him in here in a little bit. We do want to talk briefly about the movie, but folks, it's important to remember that Obama's America, The Unmaking of the American Dream, it's a great book, but also pick up that book, and while you're in the bookstore, if you buy it online, The Roots of Obama's Rage. These two books start to make up the trinity that is part of the movie as well, and they're vitally important because many people are still scratching their head as to who this person is. Let's, Dinesh, really quickly before I just talk briefly about the movie. I know because you're trying to get all this information out to people. How much damage has President Obama truly done in these last 4 years?
Well, you know, you're right. We tell the Obama story in the film, and we touch upon this. The film is called 2016. If you actually go to the website 2016themovie.com, you can watch a trailer. You can see where the film is playing. It's in 1,000 theaters this weekend, so right. It's everywhere. You should be able to find it. I think that what Obama's doing, and this is not accidental. This is his goal, is to bring to an end the American era. Now, the American era began in 1945. It's lasted 70 years. And it's been a time when America's had a very special place in the world. I mean, if you travel abroad as an American, you've seen it. Your passport is more valuable than anyone else's passport. The American dollar can be used everywhere. American culture is spreading throughout the world. And but this American era is now threatened, and it's precarious. And many people think that America is in decline. What I'm saying is that Obama isn't the presiding instrument of decline. He's actually the architect of it. Now, he's the architect of it not because he's a wicked guy, he hates America, he's a traitor. No, it's rather that he subscribes to an ideology that sees it as a good thing for America not to be number one, for America to be number 37 or 64 in the world, for America to be just a normal country, for the American dream to be scaled back, for America's standard of living to be scaled back, for America to share its wealth with the rest of the world. In other words, you can see America as being the 1%. Obama, when he talks about the 1%, the 99%, he's using a global definition. And finally, a reduction of American power in the world. America being less influential in Asia, America pulling out of the Middle East, our allies being weakened, our adversaries being somewhat stronger. If you look at Obama's actions, this is what's been happening over the last 4 years. And all I'm saying is Obama can complete the job if he's given another four.
Oh, my goodness. Once again, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza. The book is called Obama's America, Unmaking the American Dream. Also, the movie is Obama's Dream 2016. It is playing locally here in New Hampshire, folks. We'll link that information up online. It was the number one movie, Dinesh, last week, as you look at per screens, which shows you how many people are truly interested in this. And I've talked to liberals and conservatives alike who are intrigued by this movie. I just got to give another big plug for the movie, though, is that this was a really good documentary. You kind of led us into a very gentle journey. You're kind of like our subtle Indiana Jones as you walk us around the world to kind of expose each one of these stopping points that President Obama has before the White House. Really great job.
Thank you. I wanted to make an intelligent film, a film that would let the viewer, and I think it's fair to say, whatever your politics, you know, you'll leave this film saying, wow,
sure,
there's a whole bunch of stuff here about Obama that I just didn't know 90 minutes earlier.
And it is absolutely honest. For those people who don't know of Dinesh's work, please pick up more of it. He is the president of King's College, and we know that since he was educated here in New Hampshire at the fine College of Dartmouth, he's someone we can absolutely trust. I've always found you to be an honest, great intellectual conservative, and I appreciate all the stuff that you've done, Dinesh. Good luck further on the book and the movie, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
And once again, that was Dinesh D'Souza. We're going to post all that information up online. And if you listen in on Monday, we are going to give a couple copies of his book away. So make sure you listen in on Monday, and we'll make sure we take care of that. And that's all we have time for in this segment. We'll be back in just a bit on New Hampshire Perspective.